ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, text 28, no, not text 28, chapter 28, text 28. Tam eva manasa grinam, babuva pramadottama, anantaram vidarbhasya, Raja Singhasya Vismani. Translation. King Puranyana gave up his body while remembering his wife, and consequently in his next life he became a very beautiful and well-situated woman. He took his next birth as the daughter of King Vidarbha in the very house of the king. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Yes. Since King Puranjana thought to his wife at the time of death, he attained the body of a woman in his next birth. This verifies the following verse in Bhagavad Gita 8:6. Yam yam va pismaran bhavam tyaja chante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. When a living entity is accustomed to think of a particular subject matter or become absorbed in a certain type of thought, he will think of that subject at the time of death. At the time of death, one will think of the subject that has occupied his life while he was awake, lightly sleeping or dreaming, or while he was deeply sleeping. After falling from the association of the Supreme Lord, the living entity thus transmigrates from one bodily form to another according to nature's course, until he finally attains the human form. If he is absorbed in material thoughts and ignorant of spiritual life, and if he does not take shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda, who solves all questions of birth and death, he will become a woman in the next life. Especially if he thinks of his wife. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.31.1, Karmana Daivanetrena, a living entity acts piously and impiously, and sometimes in both ways. All actions are taken into account, and the living entity is offered a new body by his superiors. Although King Puranyana was overly attached to his wife, he nonetheless performed many pious fruitive activities. Consequently, although he took the form of a woman, he was given a chance to be the daughter of a powerful king, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Prapya punya kritam lokan usitva sasvati samaha Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brasto Vidyayate. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into family of righteous people or into family of rich aristocracy. If a person falls from the path of Bhakti Yoga, God realization, due to attachment to fruitive activity, philosophical speculation, or mystic yoga, He's given a chance to take birth in a high and rich family. The higher authorities appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead thus render justice to the living entity according to the living entity's desires. Or the King Puranjana was overly absorbed in thought of his wife and thus became a woman. He took birth in the family of a king due to his previous pious activities. The conclusion is that all our activities are taken into consideration before we are awarded another body. Narada Muni therefore advised Vyasadeva that one should take to Krishna consciousness, devotional service, and abandon all ordinary occupational duties. This advice was also given by Lord Krishna himself. Although a devotee may fall from the path of spiritual consciousness, he will nonetheless attain a human body in the home of a devotee or a rich man. In this way, one can resume his devotional service. So we are here following the story of King Puranjana, who is a living entity. So in that way we can say it's our story as well, to a certain degree. In the previous verses, and in the recent verses, it was said that he actually met quite a... It said that to leave his previous body was not an easy thing. He was attacked by these animals he had killed in sacrifices. And he was in a great pain. We can say that was his hell he had to go through. But now we can say he has happily landed as a daughter of a king. And the story will continue, and we can say that all well that ends well. So in the same way, we hope that our story of repeated birth and death through various lifetimes will end well with full surrender to Krishna and going back home, back to Godhead. So Prabhupada refers to the Bhagavad Gita, whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. So now our challenge is, well, to think of Krishna at the time of death, but we don't know when we're going to die. So we better think of Krishna all the time. So the challenge is to think of Krishna always. Question is, how much can we do that? Well, we are practicing devotees. Prabhupada, in one conversation, on a tape I heard, and I believe I remember correctly, was with a godbrother of mine, and the godbrother asked, what does it mean to be a grihastha? Or how should I live like a grihastha? Prabhupada answered, what's the difficulty of always thinking of Krishna? What's the difficulty? And then Prabhupada says, if you have love of Krishna, what is the difficulty? So that is the point. If you actually have love of Krishna, we will think of Krishna. Without love, it's difficult. We can also expand that to make a comparison with this world. We have raga dvesha, attachment and aversion. And in the second chapter, it says that the self-realized soul or the advanced soul gives up both attachment and aversion. So we can say he is a state of neutrality. That also comes in the 18th chapter, 54, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochandi Nakangshati. The one who is thus transcendentally situated has nothing to hanker for, has nothing to hanker for, and nothing to lament for. So we can say there's no attachment and there's no aversion. And there in that verse it says, in that state you can enter into pure devotional service. Now, in this world, we speak about love. So I can say, oh, I love you so much. And we try to love Krishna. But in this world, we can see that if I love someone, then I do something. Patram puspam palam tuyam, Krishna says. If you offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. So in this world, if we want to express our love or develop our love for someone, we do something. We ask about the name, about the background, or something, show some concern for the person, maybe offer some a plate prasadam, offer a flower, maybe not. In the West, that's a concept. You give a flower to that lady. You do so. Then the lady says, okay, she expects something more. So you invite them to Govinda's restaurant to sit down and take a meal together. That way you develop a relationship by the loving exchanges as described in the Upadeshamrita. So there, what is it said there? You give gifts, you accept gifts, you reveal your mind in confidence, you listen to others in confidence, and what more? Prasadam, okay. And then you punta vajayate sheva. Then you offer prasadam, you accept prasadam. So one way, love means also that there is an exchange. I give, and then you give something back, and I accept it. And then a relationship develops. And I would say, oh, it will be nice to meet this Prabhu again or this Mataji again. And when we see the person, we will feel happy. Oh, nice. The person is here. Let's meet again. Now, there can be another situation. So I punch someone on the nose. I offend someone with my words. Or maybe with my non-words, by not acknowledging someone. Or may I speak badly about someone behind their back. Jai Shri Gonitai Ki Jai. Si Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Si Radhesham Sundar Lalita Vishaka Ki Jai. So I may do something negative. I maybe steal something from someone. If I know that I've stolen something from someone, then I meet the person again. Externally, I keep the face, I assume. But internally, I know I did something bad. So here we get to the action. In both cases, it will establish a relationship. You know, if I come here, I say, oh no, he is coming here. My old enemy. You know, I have experience. I hope others don't experience me that way. Oh no, this Swami is coming. Let's get out of the way. But there's a kind of relationship, a response, an emotional response that you carry with you. Unless, in the negative side, it's resolved. I'm sorry I punched you or stole from you or I don't know what offended you. Then maybe there can be a more proper, natural relationship, or balanced relationship. Okay, the point is, at the time of death, what will I remember? So, I done something bad to, here, King Puranjana. Now he remembers his wife, who has a very loving relationship with. They've had such an, what's wrong? They exchange love in various levels of words, thoughts, and action. Yes, but it made him attached. To the degree that at the time of death, he thought of his wife. Let's say I've now had a negative relationship with someone, well, I may also at the time of death remember, why did I do that? Who is that? And may I actually also affect my destination. So in that way, the point is, love is expressed through action. And then Krishna, why do we respond like we do? Because we are persons. And to be a person means to be conscious. Tulsi Devi, it's not an ordinary plant. She has the soul present. We know other plants beyond Tulsi Devi also. They respond to the care and the affection of the caregiver. That's what I've heard. Even the plants. What to speak about the dogs, cats, camels, asses, cows. Human beings. So they respond to how we, so say, react, to how even we think. Like I may pretend to be nice, but you may feel that it's not really right. Because I mean, it's something going on a different level of my mind, duplicity. I want to get something from you, so I'm nice to you. So you may buy it in the beginning, but at one point you will feel uneasy. So that's what our thoughts. We send out signals with the thought, with the words, with our actions. The point is, okay, the plants, the tree, I'll say tamal tree, our tamal tree here in the courtyard. There was a tamal tree here also when we, 1975, when we started then, it's a new branch of the tree. Then we go out, well, even the trees are conscious of persons, and they respond to the actions. Okay, now, we are small jivas. We're sitting encaged in this material body, and we perceive ourselves in certain ways. Still, even though we are just small jivas entangled in the material existence, still we are part and parcel of Krishna. So, we are conscious. We are conscious, so our source, our cause, is also conscious. Just like we have our parents, we could say on one level they caused us to exist, or they facilitated to exist. Okay, my skin color is one and yours a little bit different. If you see a picture of my father, you'll say, oh, he looks like you. No, he doesn't look like me. I look like him. I am coming from him. He doesn't come from me, in that materially speaking. Now, our original, so the cause is present in the effect, a Vedantic statement. So we are caused by Krishna. So we can say the cause is present in the effect. So we have what he has. Personality and consciousness. Eternality, knowledge and bliss exist in us because it exists in our cause of our eternal Father, who is not just a father, but a well-wisher, a friend. A nice friend to play with in the forest of Vrindavan. The Vrindavan we maybe don't see with our external eyes today. Okay, now the point is that Krishna, so now let's say that we do something for Krishna. What happens then? Well, he is the Uttama Purush. He is the ultimate person. He is a perfect person. Therefore, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maybe the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I would say a way of expressing that he is the ultimate person. He is the perfect person. He knows how to perfectly reciprocate love, and maybe perfectly reciprocate enmity as well. Okay, so now, here Krishna, please take something to eat. Krishna, please take a flower. Krishna, please, whatever, accept this garment. So if we consciously, with love, consciously offer a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, Krishna says, he will accept it. When someone gives to us, nice to us, we remember the person. Usually, mostly. maybe I'm getting too many things everywhere. In any case, but that's a principle. So Krishna, okay, so if we are a little bit grateful, appreciative, you know, a sane human being will be thankful. Thank you. So Krishna, he is a perfect person. So perfectly grateful, remembering and acknowledging. Now, he may not do it immediately in a way that is seen to us, but he keeps it in his mind. And there's a difference between his mind and mine. I have to have my notebooks here, okay. Krishna's inconceivable personality, everything is remembered, and he is perfect. He's not just remembered like in a computer, or it's a computer memory that is also dead in one sense and less activated, but it's a living memory. Okay. Now, Krishna remembers, and we may or may not remember. So, now, developing love. So that's a loving exchange. So we may or may not feel, maybe say, well, I'm doing so much service, but I don't feel anything. Yes, but Krishna is, then the point is here, Krishna is not ungrateful. We may not feel something, but doesn't mean that Krishna will not take notice and not remember. Now there's another thing, when we do something for someone, of course Krishna sees everything, okay, that's a problem. Or it's good. He sees everything, he sees what's going on in my heart, in your heart, in everyone's heart. He's fully aware. So now we say, okay, I give him a flower. It's enough, one flower is enough, he says that in the Bhagavad Gita. A fruit, a little bit. And then I keep the rest for myself. Yeah. So Krishna, he also sees love, or another word I have, what I got, is intention. What is our intention with which we give it? So if the intention is to actually please Krishna, Krishna certainly takes notice. And he may accept it, even though otherwise the offering may not be perfect and complete in that sense. But the intention is to please Krishna. Just like there is a story about the Bhakta. Vidura is, I think, is one case, and there's another one, is a poor Brahmana in the town of Mithila or somewhere. Where Krishna comes there with his entourage and into the poor Brahmana's small shed. And the Brahmana gives him some place to sit and maybe something to drink, and then he's going to give a banana. Of course, you should peel the banana first. So he peels the banana, throws away the banana, gives a peel to Krishna. Ah. What a way! What kind of offering is that? But Krishna accepted it because it was with love. The intention was to please Krishna, and that Krishna accepted. On one hand, we can say, of course, later on I thought I've learned that actually you can cook banana peels, but that's another matter. But Krishna accepted the intention. The intention was to please him, and Krishna said, thank you, and he even ate the banana peels. In that way, we could say, in one sense, it doesn't really, the externals, what we offer in one sense, is not the most important, but the intention is to please Krishna. And Krishna remembers that. So in that way, we should not despair. We may not feel something, and it may be, I don't know, sadhana bhakti, being a bhakta or a brahmachari, you know, I don't know, hard work, but at least as a sacrifice, there's maybe not so comforts, material comforts of life. But Krishna notices the sacrifices we're doing. Now the question is, are we doing it for the sake of pleasing Krishna? Like we may be not so advanced devotees, we think, well, it's nice to, I don't know, I could imagine in India you think that, well, it's a nice place, there is prasadam. Comparatively speaking, it's quite luxurious. There is prasadam every day, and there is a place to sleep, and there is whatever. If all of a sudden you may have a watch also, and all kind of things comes to you as you engage in devotional service. Of course, you say, thank you, this is Krishna consciousness, it's nice. But it's maybe not on the topmost level. And then we may move on, and I don't know what. well, there's a position, there's a, you know, prestige, there's things like that to aspire for, and of course I'm doing devotional service, I want to please Krishna, and that's good. And then we may be a little bit further and think, well, actually, I want to get purified. I want to purify myself from my material contaminations and become pure in heart. I actually want to love Krishna. So I would say that would be the mode of goodness as far as you understand it. It's not a perfection. It's we still have a desire to get pure. Let me purify myself. And why not? So that I one day can become a pure devotee and serve Krishna and please Krishna with my service. And then we may actually become fully purified. And we may then don't really worry so much about whether we are purified or not. But our worry and concern is that Krishna is pleased. I can take any difficulty to undergo any difficulty for the sake of pleasing Krishna. Whether I'm pure or not is not so important. The important is that Krishna is pleased. Arjuna, I don't know, in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, well, you know, he says action or inaction, you know, what is better? You say that inaction, intelligence is better. Why do you encourage me to fight? I should go into the forest and be a non-violent sadhu. And Krishna said, no, no. One and Krishna, he said, he was a sarvadhamam paritadya. You know, just give up all duties and just surrender to me. But again, then Krishna says, okay, no, are you prepared to do your duty? So then he gets back again. That Krishna, at the end of the story, Krishna does basically the same thing he would have done in any case, but with a different intention. With the intention of pleasing Krishna. He doesn't really say, now I do it with love for you. He just says, okay, Krishna, I fight. So I don't have a lot of sentimental talks. That's not the nature. Krishna, maybe it's not sentimentally that way, you know. Hey, there's some work to be done. There's some work to be done. Let it get done. So in that way, Krishna. Okay, then we can see Bhishma Dev. He was, he's maybe one of my favorites, role models. He was engaged in so many kind of things. And so there's so much politics and everything, and he was very learned at the same time. He was fighting battles and everything. And he loved Krishna, and he loved the Pandavas, but he ended up having to fight them. And he fought them with love. Actually he did, because then finally there is this, you know, Bhishma Dev gives a vow. Okay, today I kill either Krishna takes the weapon or I kill Arjuna. And Bhishma Dev is convinced about Krishna's infallibility. Krishna will not fail his promise to protect his devotee. I'm going to force him to violate his own other promise. Actually, he didn't promise. He told Arjuna to promise that his devotees will not perish. But I will force him to break his own promise not to fight in the battle. So Bhishma Dev, with great love, shoots the arrows. And he really, it's not just a joke or a show. He's really shooting. And then finally, Bhishma Dev is defeated by various means and tricks. But it's a hard fight. That's a little bit later. Actually, at the end, Krishna actually takes to the chariot wheel and attacks Bhishma Dev. And then Bhishma Dev can say, okay, now my life is perfect. Krishna has broken his promise out of love of his devotee, out of concern for his devotee. And then, what kind of devotional service is that? But it was with love. And Krishna appreciated this loving exchange even there. Now at the end of the battle, Bhishma Dev is defeated. He's lying on his bed of arrows. And Krishna arranged it in such a way that Yudhisthira Maharaj comes to take counsel, instructions from Bhishma Dev. And Bhishma Dev is then allowed to give this long, long, long talk, giving all whatever he knows, whatever knowledge, wisdom he has, he can so say share with Yudhisthira Maharaj. And then at the end, there's Bhishma, Yudhisthira, so who is the Supreme Lord? So then Bhishma Dev said, oh, this Govinda is standing here, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the Supreme Lord. And then Bhishma Dev departs this world in the presence of his beloved Lord. So Krishna, you know, that's the love. Krishna's love for his devotee is actually present when the devotee departs. So we can say, on one hand, the challenge is for us to remember Krishna, trying to please Krishna, and we may be a little bit, will I remember Krishna, what will happen? But there's one thing is, that's my hope, Krishna will not forget. He does not forget his devotee, okay. We may forget or not be perfect in that way, but Krishna will not forget. How's that? We say, you know, even a small progress on this path can save one from the most dangerous type of fear. Well, at least we will not take animal form, we will take a human form again. Because again, beyond that, Krishna remembers us. Let's see, there was a question. Okay. Now whether we go back home, back to Godhead straight, Prabhupada made it, that's another point. I may have my doubts. Will I go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime? On the other hand, Prabhupada said, the pure devotee said, that you know, if you just follow the four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds, you will go back home, back to Godhead. I said, well, that sounds easy. Okay, but it may not be so easy for the rest of your life. So say, to sincerely serve the Lord for the rest of your life. Of course, even if you don't make it, well, now the question is, what's the rest of our life? Actually, the point is to serve the Lord for that's our constitutional position. We don't need to. We're going to serve the Lord because that's our constitutional position. We will gravitate back to His, or Krishna will pull us back to His service. He will not let us go away. I have a small personal story. When I joined, I was a young bhakta. Maybe I was just 18 years old, okay. I could have been 17, but I was 18. And I came to the Sunday feast, and that was a transforming experience. So I thought, next day I come to the temple. I went there, and there was, I said, I got some breakfast, and they said, why don't you come with on Harinam? So we went on Harinam in the morning, came back for lunch, and then the temple commander, by the way, it's Kula Shekhar, I don't know if you heard, he's my godbrother who left his body just a few days ago. So I remember him as my first bhakta leader, my first siksha or vatmana pradarshika guru, one of the first at least. So he asked me after lunch, can you wash the pots? So I said, yes, I can wash pots. Let me wash the pots. I'm just a karmic coming in, but they engage me. And I stand there and wash the pots. And I'm quite a little bit proud of myself because my mother taught me how to wash pots. That's another story. Then Kula Shekhar comes and says, after an hour they've been taking their afternoon rest, nap, and he comes and says, oh, very nice. You've washed all the pots. Krishna will not forget this. Then I thought, Krishna. I didn't really catch the point. It's okay, it's good that he appreciates me washing the pots, but that Krishna will not forget it. What does have to do with the matter? Because I wanted my own ego in the center, so to say. But then, I think so, Krishna didn't forget it. Because he didn't let me go away. He kept me. I haven't been able to escape. So I believe that way, when we serve Krishna nicely, Krishna will not let us escape. He will pull us back in one way or another. He is in control. He is the Supreme Person. And he's not ungrateful. And he's not impersonal. He is the most personal personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada said, we should always remember that he's a person and he's a friend. So in that way. And here we are today in Krishna Balaram Mandir. And we are here, Prabhupada is here, as in his Murti form. In 1975 when I came here, the installation was going on, I was quite sick. So I didn't really see too much or perceive too much. But Prabhupada was here and the worship was going on, and I assume, because I don't really remember, that there was a Guru Puja, but there was a Guru Puja then, and Prabhupada received the Guru Puja. And we're coming here and offering Guru Puja today also. And Prabhupada, as Prabhupada was there and accepted it then, I take it that he's here today also to accept our services in various ways, even though it may not be so. You may think, oh, when I was there, when Prabhupada was there, but I would say that he's still present and is still going on. So, you know, Krishna consciousness is very alive, at least here. So in that way, Prabhupada is there, and whether we are pure devotees or not, Prabhupada was or is, and we participate in the Bhagavatam, we hear the Bhagavatam, and as stated, to hear the Bhagavatam as spoken by the narrations of the Lord, as spoken by the Lord himself or by his pure devotees, to sit down and hear that way you don't have to change color of your dress, you don't have to change anything, but you should sit down or with your body, mind and words honor the narrations of the Lord. And that way the Lord, who is otherwise unconquerable, becomes conquered. And the Lord, death is another form of the Lord. So we can say death that otherwise is unconquerable. Who can conquer death? Well, the devotees conquer death by hearing about Krishna. So the unconquerable becomes conquered by the devotees when we talk about Krishna. And then, let's see if I get you here. There's one, Padma Purana. Naham tistami vaikunte yogi namrida yeshuva tatra tistami narada yatra gayanti marbhakta. O Narada, I am not in Vaikuntha, nor I am in the hearts of the yogis. I remain where my devotees glorify my name, form, qualities, and transcendental pastimes. So we may say, well, when will I go to the spiritual world? When will I go to whatever? You may get there and say, where is he? Well, he's there, in the Bhagavatam class. where the talking, where the kirtan, where the bhajan, where the narrations of the Lord is. Though at the present we may not have the adhikar, the qualifications to fully perceive the presence of the Lord, but the Lord is present in so many ways, and as we become purified we may be more in tune with that. Okay, so thank you for listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I don't know if there's time, a question or two, or comment. Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. I have one question I want to ask you. Commentary, actually, the story that I heard is very inspiring. One disciple of Srila Prabhupada, I believe his name is Parth Sarthi Prabhu, he did so much service, but then at the end, Maya somehow distracted him. But in the final days, when he was in hospital, lying unconscious, he all of a sudden gets up, Prabhupada, you came and left his body.
Yes.
So Prabhupada is so merciful that even if we get distracted, he can save us at the time of death by personally coming to take us back to Godhead.
Yes. So, Hare Krishna.
And the question I wanted to ask is, I heard in one story that somebody, Narad Muni asked Lord Vishnu, what if a devotee cannot think of you? He did so much service, but at the time of death he gets distracted, he cannot think of you. Then Lord replied that, if he cannot think of me, I think of him. So I wanted to find what is the reference in which Puran that is supposed there.
Actually, the reference, which Purana, I can say that I don't know. Okay. I'm sorry, it's beyond me. But what's the point was, Narada Muni asked, what if the devotees don't remember you, then Lord Vishnu said, I remember my devotee. Okay. Yeah. I take that in, here in Vrindavan, in India, you have more resources of learned pundits that maybe can answer the question where it's coming from. Okay. The one here, from the Padma Purana here, that's clear. So I'd say, but that I don't know. I'm sorry. Okay, any other question or comment? Yes, you.
I have one more comment, Maharaj. The story that you narrated about Bhishma Pitama, in Prabhupada's lecture on that, narrating the story, he gives a very, very practical example that many people are familiar with. By explaining how we understand that when Bhishma Pitama is shooting arrows at Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna is enjoying it, Prabhupada shares, they're just saying lovemaking. When lovers are biting each other, it appears to be very painful, but they're enjoying it. So that's how Krishna enjoys fighting with his devotees. And
okay, very good. Krishna enjoyed. Yes, thank you.
That's all he does.
Yeah, Krishna just enjoys. We sometimes suffer, but Krishna enjoys. Let's see, Prabhu. Final, before the bell has rang to its end. Okay.
In Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one song, he prayed, Lord, can you, he prayed, Lord, please increase my attachment toward you in the moment when I become attached, in the moment when in this material world, I'm starting to become attached to the, or to meet, or to deal with some wonderful woman. So, my question is, is Lord fulfilling that desire? Other word, is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, after realization that Lord is doing that, then he is putting that in the form of song and in the form of this, his request. my question, yeah, that is my question. Is that realization that Lord is really in this mood helping devotees to increase their attachment to them, to Lord? Lord, is it doing that to devotees or not?
Okay, now I try to get the question.
One moment.
I have one recommendation here. In India, try to improve the acoustics of the temple rooms, okay? That's my request. Try to do, because it's where it equals. So the point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur asks that, my Lord, please increase my attachment for you when I get attracted to material things. So what?
If I become attracted to beautiful woman.
If I become attracted to beautiful woman, please increase my attraction for you, so I'm saved from that.
Yes.
And then.
Then does that he is doing to us?
Is it good for us to pray like
that?
Is he doing that? Well, Krishna. Well, you know, Krishna, he is very tricky also, okay? it's going to make it easy for you, okay? No. Krishna does his part, but we have to do our part. And Maya does her part also. And as to let no nonsense, I've heard that Maya's business is to let no nonsense close to Krishna. Of course, Krishna loves his devotees, but if we are not really qualified yet, you know, she keeps us a little bit distance. So I say, I take it that we have to do our part, Krishna will do his. Krishna does his part, no question. The question is whether we are doing our part. But we can always pray to Krishna that way. Okay, now it's time to end, because it's past 9, and the sun is getting hot here. I thank you very much for here. Nice to be able to speak a little bit and remember your audience. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.